Okay. This was literally a last-minute decision. Just the second I had a chesh to do something for Purim Katan. I mean, it doesn't happen that often. So I wanted to do something for Purim Katan and to be able to bask in the light of Rav Kook, Schussi, and Leina. So of course, this year, Ayakar are an offshoot and hishtalshlus of the Torah that we've been learning for so many years from the Tzaddik, from Rav Kook. So, just the last second, a machshava of a tiny little Torah that we could do, that we'd have enough time to do in one shiur, that's completely Purim Katantik, even though it doesn't mention anything about Purim Katan. Purim Katan's not mentioned in this. This is in the first Chelik of Aris HaKadosh. It's called Hoyd HaNevua V'Nitzcha. Hoyd HaNevua V'Nitzcha. So first, there's a strange, just by way of hakadama, again, I didn't work this out, this is the last second, but just by way of entering into this Torah, in the parasha, we have the mitzvahs of the kahuna, the big day kahuna, the avoid of the kahuna, and Hashem Zbach tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Va'ata hakir v'leches Aaron achicha." He tells Moshe Rabbeinu to be makariv, hakir v'lecha. So what exactly does that mean? Hakir v'lecha, to bring near. And it's bondav and so on. L'chaha noli for the kohuna, l'chaha noli for the purpose of the work of the kohuna. And the Medrash says what appears to be on the surface something very strange. The Medrash says that. And I didn't look up the Medrash. The lashon of the Medrash I don't have exactly, but the Medrash says that Heiraloi LaMoshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Heiralo. This something that was not sitting well with Moshe Rabbeinu. Heiraloi, he was upset about something. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu was mechazikim. Look, I gave you the Torah, so it's like it's Aaron's chance. That's what it sounds like. And Lulei Saroscha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Lulei Saroscha, Shashuai as Avadi Boini. If not for the Torah, I would have been lost. But Hashem reminded me that I have the Torah. So Aaron, my brother, has the Kohuna, and I have the Torah. That's the Medrash. So obviously, we're not talking here about some sort of a rivalry between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. That's silly. Moshe Rabbeinu was not jealous of Aaron." Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are shkulim heim. Sometimes it says, like it says in Rashi in Parshas Vayera, Aaron Moshe, Moshe Aaron, that the two brothers are brought down in the Torah, shkulim heim, they're equally great. And yet, there was something here that Moshe Rabbeinu was frightened about. Moshe Rabbeinu was worried about. Heira loy l'moshe. It was very hard for him. When Hashem Zbach told him to initiate his brother into the kahuna. Akidekach v'ata hakriv elecha. Hashem Zbach told Moshe Rabbeinu, hakriv elecha. Don't push him away, bring him close. So let's learn inside. It's very short. And try to explain on our level to understand. Here Rav Kook is speaking about the two midas, the two spheres of Netzach and Hod. And we know that in that configuration of the midas HaKadoshes, of the spheres, that Moshe Rabbeinu is Netzach and that Aaron HaKohen is Hod. So Rav Kook writes the following. Olam Harayonos, the world of thought, of thoughts. Olam Harayonos, Mischalikul L'shtei Ma'arachas, is divided into two Ma'arachas, two systems, two ways. The world of thinking. Olam Harayonos, the world of ideas. Mischalik L'shtei Ma'arachas. Bechlal, L'rayonos Misnoididim. Rav Kook says there are rayonas, there are ideas, there are thoughts that are misnoded him. What does it mean, misnoded? Like novenot, thoughts that wander, thoughts that are in motion, that move. Rayonas misnoded him. That change, that are fluid, that are in motion. Rayonas misnoded him. Mishtanim, they change. Thoughts, a way of thinking that changes. Mishtanim umisnoyaim betnua tadira. Ideas that are in constant motion. Tnua tadira, constant motion. That's one way of thinking, a certain type of idea, a way of thinking. Ulrayones kivuan. And then there's the world of rayonos kivuan, of fixed, established thoughts. Rayonos kivuan. Oimdim bitzivyonam, that are firm and stand firm in their character. Below shinu utmur, without changes, without exchanges. Below shinu utmur. So rayonos misnoided him, and rayonos kivuim, the two ways of thinking. Shtei hasviris, these the two spheres, shel hanetzach v'shel hahoid. Misgalos v'shneihem yachad. Now you could hear in the word, the name of the sphere, Netzach, what do you hear in there? Is that from the world of Rayonus Misnoidedim or Rayonus Kivuim? Netzach, no?
Kivuim.
Netzach means something which is eternal, unchanging. The Midah of Nitzchias of Netzach, something which is fixed, something which is established, Netzach. So that's the world of Rayonus Kivuim. Shteh Sphere Shel HaNetzach. What does hod mean? There are many ways to translate it, and you'll find it in different ways. But
majestic,
something which is majestic.
So hodah.
Also thankfulness, hod, hodah, vidui, something which is beautiful, majestic,
splendor,
splendor, the lashon of splendor. These are the translations that we have for the word hod. So you hear in that word hod, in all of its permutations, including vidui and gratitude, beauty, and so on, that this is the world of Ayanis misnoided him. These are impressions that change, feelings that are constantly in motion. So Rav Kook says these two spheres, Shel HaNetzach v'shel HaHoid, Mizgalos b'shneihem yachad. Our Mizgala are revealed, the two spheres of Netzach and Hod, are revealed together in these two ways of thinking. They must be joined together in these two ways of thinking. They must be. We'll see why. HaNetzach b'ta'atzumoisai hu ha'yesoid ha'kavua. Netzach, in all of its strength and power, is the foundation of all that is permanent, all that is fixed and that is set, that is unchanging. That's really the world of Torah Shebichsav, of the written Torah, which Chalila Chalila, you can't change one letter, you can't change one tag, one little crown. We could call that the world of objective truth. Absolute objective truth. Thus is thus. Absolute objective truth. Moshe Emes, Visarasa Emes. Unchanging. Inflexible. Not moving. Etched. Our Sifrei Torah are very carefully checked. Moshe Rabbeinu's world is a world of Yisod HaKavua, of Netzach, of Nitzchius. Vahoid, and beauty, splendor, be if asoi in all of its beauty. Hu ha yesod ha misnodeid umishtan. That is the yesod of what is misnodeid and mishtana, what is moving, fluid, flexible, changing, adjusting, adapting. So as Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Emes v'Seroso Emes, and it's that ideal of Elokus that is unchanging, that travels through time from the beginning, before the beginning, till the end. Like the Torah Shebichsav, like every one of our Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Emes v'Seroso Emes is the Midah of Netzach. Well, Aaron HaKohen is different. Even though it says Lahagish Vachal, Shlam Shaleshina, in his Avodah. But the beauty of Aaron is that Aaron, whereas we have Moshe Rabbeinu as the objective truth, that koyach of absolute, unchanging, objective truth. So we've learned about this many, many times over the years, that Aaron HaKohen was like the flickering flames on the menorah that he lit. And he was one of the most effective liars who ever lived. Right? We've spoken with him many times. And when I say that, I'm saying that, of course, because everybody knows that Aaron was always lying. The truth was always changing. When he saw a husband and wife that were having some kind of problem with machlokes, so Chazal tell us, really in the Obster Rabbi Nosson, it's very, very beautiful how it's laid out more clearly, that Aaron HaKohen would go to say to the husband, you know, your wife is very tzibach, and I spoke to her. It was not bichlal, not true. Your wife is very tzibach, and she really is embarrassed. She wants to apologize. She says, no, you know, he would talk, and the husband would say, she said that? He said, yeah, I spoke to myself. I know, of course. She's mom, she's tzibach about it. She misses you terribly. Made up all these stories. And then he would go to the, and he said, yeah. And we'll go to the wife, and you should know, I saw your husband. He can barely talk. He didn't come to shul. You know, all kinds of lies. He misses you so much. He feels so terrible what happened. He it's hard for him to say. You understand? It's hard for him to say. But he I know. He told me. She says, he told you that he told me that he's wrong. He told me he feels terrible. But he's not going to tell you. He feels bad about it. You have to work with it, you know. And this is Chazal tells us. Aaron HaKohen was lying to say that. Because Aaron HaKohen is in that world of Oyev Shalom, Roidev Shalom, Oyev Sebrius, Makar Van Latayra. Aaron HaKohen was running from one place to the other. Moshe Rabbeinu had he placed himself Michutz in his oil. And Aaron HaKohen was all over the place. He was when he was in Mitzrayim with Eden, and then afterwards. You know, you could, if you want, just to very, very, we can't compare anybody to Moshe and to Aaron. It's just the two brothers. But you could think of Moshe Rabbeinu as the world of Kotzk, and you could think of Aaron like the Rebbe Abzushia of the Kedusha Slavia. You understand what I'm saying? It's two different Rayonis. There's the Aaron HaKohen is misnoided them all over. And Moshe Rabbeinu is Rayonis, the Rayonis Kvuim. So Moshe is the Ish HaNetzach, the man of Netzach of Nitzchias. And Aaron HaKohen is the Ish HaHoy, the beauty of the Kohen, Ma'ar HaKohen, the changing, adjusting. What's happening today, and what this Jew needs right now at this moment, it's not something that could be written in Torah, like Torah Shebichsav. Aaron is the world of Torah Shebaal Peh. And just as the Torah Shebaal Peh took the aura of Torah Shebichsav and adjusted it to each person in his and her life, and each generation, and each time, through the Chachmei HaDoros and the Ruach HaKodesh. So too is the Bechina of Hoyd. Yisoid HaMisnoideid Umishtan. Ein Tzir, Rav Kook writes, Ein Tzir Litvais Achas Mehamarachas Bloit Tziruf Hashni Allah. There is no possible picture or image, Ein Tzir, to grasp one of these ma'arachas, one of these ways of thinking, without the other. We're not allowed to. Chalila. Netzach and Hod cannot be separated. We're not allowed to take these two brothers apart from each other. Ein ha-netzach mezgala bi-izuzo. Netzach cannot be revealed, be Izuzo, with all of its strength and life. Kim k'shahoid ma'atzil alav mi'ifas hoidai, unless Hod is ennobling it with all of its splendorous beauty. I'll try to explain this in a minute. And on the other hand, ein ha'hoid milavavenu, Hod cannot inspire us and can't excite us. The Hador with all of its beauty. Ki'im kisha'oz ha'netzach memula b'toichen p'nimius, unless it's filled with the strength, the stability, the certainty, the clarity of Netzach. So, Moshe Rabbeinu, let's pause. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Ish ha'netzach, Torah Shebichsav. Rayona is kvuim, fixed, set. Moshe Rabbeinu, the first we saw of what he brought us was etched in stone, the luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu, ish hanetzach, that which is the world of objective, absolute truth, unchanging, inflexible, absolute truth. is frightened and is deeply concerned and worried about the world of subjective truth. Makes sense. The one who is fixed in his way of thinking and who is given a clear directive etched in stone and written through time, on the parchment. So that tzaddik is frightened. What will become of the absolute truth? What will become of the word of God, of the word of Hashem? If this object of absolute truth is going to be subjected to the subjective thoughts and feelings of the man of Hod, of that world of Hod, what's going to happen to the absolute truth? What's going to become of it? What's going to be with Torah Hashem when it is somehow filtered through the world of human beings, of people, of human beings. So Hashem Mizbarach is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, "Va'ata hakrev elecha es aron achicha." Moshe Rabbeinu was terrified. The whole institution of Kahuna and all that Aaron, his brother, who he loved more than anybody, represented, the height of fluidity, and change and movement and motion and adjustment and adaptation and interpretation. For Moshe Rabbeinu, for the Isha Netzach, the whole world and the whole way of Aaron HaKohen is something which is very worrying and frightening. Objective truth and subjective truth. For Moshe Rabbeinu, this was difficult, and Hashem Yisbarach tells him, Hakrev Elecha. And Hashem reassures Moshe that I gave you the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lulei Saras Hoshashuai Azavadati Ba'oni. And even the word Shashuai, my delight in my, like Shashuai, something I delight in, is very, very meaningful in what's happening over here. So Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that it's forbidden, it's for cook. Again, he doesn't speak about Moshe and Aaron, but he's talking about the two midas, which are the midas of Moshe and Aaron. So Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, it's forbidden to separate between the two of you. And that's the deeper meaning of why it says in the Torah, and Rashi says in Be'er, sometimes it says first Aaron and Moshe, and then it says Moshe and Aaron, and Rashi says, Shkulim heim. We need both of these. Shkulim heim. And this helps us to understand why Torah Smaisha, which is Torah Shebechsah, which is that world of Netzach of Kviyus, why the words of Moshe Rabbeinu Davka came to us through his brother. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the world of Torah Shebechsah. He couldn't speak. He didn't have a shprach. Because he's the world of Torah Shebechsah. Therefore, on his madrega, there was something there that couldn't be communicated and didn't need to be communicated because it's written, it's etched in stone. And there's nothing to talk about. Because Torah Shebechsah, there's nothing to talk about. That's what it is. Maybe we could say the pasuk a little bit different. What do you? It would not be chorus. This is it. So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't speak. Or his speaking is not understood, can't be understood. So what's remarkable is that the Torah Smaisha, the world of Netzach, came to us, fallible human beings who every minute of our lives we need something else to help us live according to the Torah. It davka Hashem Yisbarach tells Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu says, I lo ish dvar manaychi. The man of Netzach is not a person of words. That's what it is. There's nothing to talk about. He's not a man of words. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, lo ish dvar manaychi. So then, how is this Torah of Hashem going to be communicated to human beings? So what does Hashem tell him? Aaron Echicha, hu yelechalopah. That's Torah Shebalpeh. It's Aaron, your brother, he's going to communicate the objective truth of Torah to human beings who are struggling to live according to that objective truth. He's going to communicate the Torah to Am Yisrael. Which Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu is like the best man, and Aaron HaKohen is the bridesmaid. Moshe Rabbeinu brings the Torah to us, and Aaron HaKohen brings the kala is terrified, and Aaron HaKohen brings the kala to make the chuppah. But these two can't be separated. Shkulim hay. Therefore, the Torah Shebal Peh, which is a world of rayonis misnoidedim, of machlokes and Abayin Rav, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. This Bezdin passing is this way. The next generation could be a Bezdin that passing is differently. And all the mechanisms by which Torah Shebalpa works and through the hearts and the minds of the Chachmei Hadoros till our generation. You could have a difference of opinion between Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Zeichet Tzadikim Levrach. It could be, and the Rayonis HaMisnoidim. And all the Svarim that we're surrounded by and that we live with are filled with Rayonis HaMisnoidim, all to bring, all of those are to bring Taras Moshe to us. All of these Svarim are Aaron HaKayin, Hu Yelech HaLepeh, are communicating what Moshe Benu couldn't communicate. Because Moshe Benu is Netzach. Moshe Benu is that Ur of Netzach. So Hashem Zbach tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hu Yelech HaLepeh, Daiginish, and Hakrev Elecha. Ba'ata Hakrev Elecha is Aaron Achicha. And Moshe Benu was terrified. What about the objective truth of your objective truth? So Moshe Rabbeinu, you're able to be in the mountain, you're able to live apart. But Am Yisrael understands Aaron's language. That's why Aaron was running from one place to the next, talking to Jews. They understand, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rosh Yeshiva, and he gives the Shir, and Aaron HaKohen is the Rebbe. And there can't be a separation, Chalila, between these two worlds. Between these two ways of thinking. V'heim heim ha-tzinoiris shel nevuas ha-emes. These are the two channels, conduits, pipes. The two tzinoiris of nevuas ha-emes, the prophecy of truth. Because nevuah comes from Netzach and Hod. Those who study the Svarim, you know that the Koach, the Nevi'im, they take their Ur. Prophecy comes from Netzach and Hod. And so, Nevuas Ha'emes, true prophecy, comes from this remarkable Shiluv integration of Moshe and Aaron, of objective truth and subjective truth. From that Shiluv of these two. V'heim heim ha-tzinoiris shel nevuas ha-emes, v'hashvilim, the pathways, ha-mevi'im es shifas ziv ha-emes, the pathways that bring the shefa of the radiance of truth, the light of truth, la-hachyos es kol ha-yikum, to give life to all that exists. You understand? Moshe Rabbeinu Netzach, objective, absolute truth that becomes separated, Chalila, from the changing generations, the changing way that people, all the changes that people go through with all their struggles, that absolute truth can become absolutely lifeless and irrelevant. There are teachers that are like that. We've spoken of this many times, that there are teachers who are saying the same, whatever they got in their notes from, you know, 1952, whatever it is, it's the same thing. Or the girl from seminary who went to seminary now, she's teaching girls 20 years later, and she's telling them the exact same stuff that she heard because it worked for her. But it's not working for them because things have changed. And you have to adjust. So when you have the objective absolute without Torah Shebaal Peh, it becomes fossilized. It becomes a fossil. It becomes something which is outdated. It becomes a dinosaur. It becomes a museum piece. It becomes a Torah that doesn't speak to the generation, doesn't speak to that kid in 2024 that's struggling, you know, holding on to the little bit of Yiddishkeit that he still is trying to keep. It doesn't speak to him. Hashem gave Aaron HaKohen to the world of Hu Yelech HaLepeh and Torah Shebaal Peh. Brings the beauty of the objective truth into the subjective lives of people who are constantly changing. And generations and times that are changing. On the other hand, if everything is about subjective truth, in other words, if everything is just rayonis misnaitedim, so then you no longer have Torah's Moshe. It's no longer Hashem's Torah. Then you're sitting in the temple together with your wife, saying Ne'ilah. You understand? It's not what God wanted. For whatever reason, it's not the truth anymore. And all of the permutations over time of those who tampered with the truth of Moshe Rabbeinu in ways that are irresponsible, thinking that they could interpret it according to that I'm Aaron HaKohen, I'm Abayi and Rava, I'm Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, I'm Ravina and Ravashi, and it's up to my interpretation. And or the words that are very popular these days, it works for me. This is what works for me. That's a very dangerous world. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of that. And he had good reason to be afraid. And there are plenty of Jews, well-intentioned, sweet and holy people, who slip into the arrogance of a subjectivity that completely destroys and completely uproots Torah from what Hashem ever intended. Of a subjectivity that's completely man-made, does not come from Nevuah, doesn't come from Aaron HaKohen, doesn't come from the Tanoim and Amoraim, comes from their own picture of what halacha should be, of what Yiddishkeit should be. They create a different Yiddishkeit, and history has proven that those different man-made interpretations of Yiddishkeit, they've never survived. They never ever are able to pass the test of time, ever. They never have. Those Jews, those who tried it, their grandchildren are no longer Jewish. They're no longer Jewish. It's done. Finished. That world where there's this thought that there's a subjective truth that there can be, an Aaron, a world of Aaron, of all the emotions and feelings that are constantly changing and the needs of people that are changing, without the objective clarity of Moshe Rabbeinu and the rules of how to understand the truth of Torah's Moshe, they're no longer Jewish. The Yiddishkeit is gone. Even in our lifetime, those of us who here are over 45, remember, 45, 50, remember that when we were growing up, conservative Judaism was a big thing. It was the most popular show in town. Where I lived in Queens, there was a huge... Before they tried to do that. There was a huge, the biggest temple in the whole place, the biggest synagogue was the conservative temple. Hillcrest Jewish Center on the Union Turnpike. Right? Yeah. On Union Turnpike. The Hillcrest Jewish Center was a huge temple. It was a block long. You know how I know? Because I went swimming over there and I went to the Schwitz. Because if you pay $10 a year, you were able to use the pool. But my father told me I'm never allowed to go when Marav is in session. That was the rule. You can go after they finish their prayers, not to go during davening. But it was the biggest show in town. The biggest place in town. And it was packed on the high holidays. Not Shabbos. Was packed. I don't know what's there. And I hope all those Jews are happy and they're well. And I hope their children and grandchildren are still Jews. But I doubt that there's much going on over there. No, Utopia Jewish Center became an Orthodox one, but that's not that either now. That's on Utopia Parkway. You know about, you from Queens? No.
I'm
Yeah. East side?
No. I'm from Long Island, Freeport.
That's Reform Judaism. I'm just.
That's okay.
Yeah. Good. Anyway, so. All right, but those are the biggest, those are the most popular shows. We were always there for all of our rebbeim were constantly knocking these places, and we would pass by and spit on the street, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, and it's Heiskespielt, the whole thing is like, they don't list. They can't. Listen to the words. Shoshana is Yaakov Tel Aviv Samecha, Berosim Yachad, Yachad, Tchelis Mordechai. Shuosam Ha'isal and Netzach, that's the Midah of Netzach, V'sikvasam B'chol Devado is the Midah of Hod. Netzach and Hod. Shuosam Ha'isal and Netzach, the Midah of Netzach, V'sikvasam, but the hope of the Jewish people is B'chol Devado, because it's, we need Torah Shebaal Peh, because otherwise we can't live in this generation with a fossilized Torah, with a Torah that doesn't speak to us, with the Torah that we no longer understand. But still, it has to come to us through the responsible hands of Aaron HaKohen. Because who Yelo Chalopeh? It's not some rabbi. It's not a rabbi that got up and announced that today you can sit with your wife in shul. Or you're allowed to drive to on Saturday to the synagogue because for the purposes of Tikkun HaOlam. Whatever. You know how they use that word Tikkun HaOlam? Yeah, they grabbed that. That's a term from Kabbalah. And these people don't know how to spell the word Kabbalah. And they grabbed onto something called Tikkun HaOlam. Tikkun HaOlam is the Kilkul HaOlam of all Olamas, to change the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we need to have both of those worlds. Shuvasam Ha'isal and Netzach, V'sikvasam Chol Davador. Now what does all this have to do with Purim Cotton? So I told him we were talking about Purim Cotton. The whole inyan of a shanum ulberus, of an ibiyot, of a leap year, is that there are two yesoides of time, and there are two yesoides in the universe that guide our lives and the way that we live. One is called the sun, and the other is called the moon. The light of the sun is unchanging. It's the midah of Netzach. The light of the moon goes through changes and phases. The sun is the inyan of Rayonis Kvuim, set. Pnei Moshe, what does the Gemara say? In Bava Basra, Pnei Moshe, what? Kepnei Chama, like the light of the sun. Unchanging, the light of the sun. There could be clouds, but the light of the sun. The sun doesn't pass through phases. It doesn't wax and wane. It is what it is. That's the light of the sun. The light of the moon goes through stages and changes and phases, and it's a reflection of the light of the sun. Like Aaron HaKohen, like Torah Shebaal Peh, that reflects the light of Torah Shebichsav. The whole inyan of Anibiyur is the realignment of the solar calendar and the lunar calendar of the sun and the moon. That's the whole point. Because, of course, Pesach has to be in the spring. And if we're not careful, and if the calendar is not going to, if the sun and the moon are not adjusted, the two calendars, then what's going to happen is that Pesach will turn out to be in the winter, and there'll be a drifting apart of those two worlds, of the sun and the moon. That's what happened at the beginning of time. The whole site of the Pegimas Halavan, of the moon that was blemished. That in the beginning, there were the Shnei Ba'aris HaGadam, there were two great luminaries, the sun and the moon. And they were equal, like Moshe and Aaron. And the sun and the moon had light, but something happened, and the light of the moon was diminished. And the moon goes through all kinds of changes, which is frail and fallible and vulnerable human life. It goes through all kinds of changes. And only at the end of time, the Pasuk says, Vahaya or halavana ko arachamba. At the end of time, the light of the moon will be restored to its greatness, and it will be like the light of the sun. And we daven in the Shabbos davening, Ve'inenu mi'iros, how? Kashemesh v'chayireach. Hashem, our eyes should shine like the light of the sun and the light of the moon. And when we bench Kiddush Levana, so we say, we daven to Hashem's birthday. that the oil of onyx should be ka'arachamakashivasimagracious, and that the light of the Jewish people should be restored to all of its beauty. And we say, don't know so chai v'kayim, don't know so the beginning of the moon, of Torah Shabbal Peh. A world of chai, but it's not enough to be chai. Chai is alive, but it has to be what? Kayim. Because you can't have one without the other. Subjective truth is alive. It's labedik. It's changing. Like the moon. But it has to have Moshe Rabbeinu, which is v'kayim. Mashiach is Dovid Melech Yisrael. Chai v'kayim. Hanoi v'hanetzach l'chai olamim. We say in davening. Noi is beauty. Netzach is permanence. Hanoi v'hanetzach l'chai olamim. Chai is something which is alive and changing. Olamim is something which is permanent. Hanoi v'hanetzach l'chai olamim. Something that's unchangeable forever. How does that? That doesn't make sense. How could there be such a thing that it's unchangeable forever? That's Am Yisrael. Unchangeable forever. Changing and adjusting and adapting, but forever. How is it something, how do you keep something alive that should be chai and it should be kayim? That's the hardest thing. When you have a Baal Tshuva, the Baal Tshuva is alive, mamish, ooh, he just found the truth. So he's alive, he's excited, chai. He's all alive. But then you see this guy, so he married another, he married a Baal Tshuva, and the two of them get married and they live happily ever after. And then you see them like 15 years later and they look just like us. What's a clap that's a heart like an old Hoshana? You see the guy also diving like this, with his phone, like, and he said, what happened to you? I remember when you were alive. So the answer is, I didn't know how to keep that alive forever. I didn't know how to keep it alive forever. I didn't know how to keep it. It should be an Eish Tomid, Tukad al Mizbech, Loisich, the world of Aaron HaKoyin. I didn't know how to keep it alive. The fire burning. I was alive when it started, but then over time I just got bored. Same thing with the marriage. Chas Nakal under the Chuppah, Gval, they're alive, it's alive, Chai. You see them a couple of years later, sometimes a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later. It's always also. She's no longer careful about how she looks. He's no longer careful with his weight. He's schlepping around an extra 100 pounds. She looks like her mother. And the whole thing's for foul. And it's all for foul. Because what happened was very simple. That the chai couldn't translate into kayin. The Torah Shavah Peh have to be together. You understand? They can't function apart from each other. That which is absolute and fixed becomes irrelevant and lifeless and empty and hollow over time. But that which is just alive ends up in Woodstock. And then dead in some alley overdosing. They can't be apart, those two worlds. So what's the meaning of an Ibiyur? What's this from the Shlok HaKadosh? All the Tzaddikim said that it's a year of Tshuva, it's an Ibiyur, and now it's Parshat Tetzaveh, which is the end of Shoyvim V'mtat, and all the Tikkunim of an Ibiyur and Shoyvim V'mtat, which we have this year, such a thing. A leap year. Hashanah Mu'beres. So in the Svarim it's called the leap year is Yichud Hashem Shaveh V'Yarche. It's the Yichud of the sun and the moon. It's the sun and the moon, the solar calendar and the lunar calendar. Moshe Rabbeinu Aaron, David HaMelech Mashiach. It's a very strong Hezgalus of that. That or of what's going to be Mashiach comes of Ahaya or Halavana Ka'ar Acham. So there's a tremendous Hisayrus. In the Oilemis, person might not feel that, but today, which is Purim Cotton, Zach Cotton got the year. So we had a Purim Tish last night, it was beautiful, and there was a Bach that was asking me when I was leaving. So what about Adla Yoda? And he wanted a drink on Purim Cotton. So his Bochy is like a cute little wise guy, and he asked me, what about Adla Yoda on Purim Cotton? So I told him, you don't have to worry about that. He said, well, what do you mean? It's Purim Cotton. I said, because the Gemara says a cotton ain't by das. So you don't have to worry about Adla Yoda. You're already holding by Adla Yoda. It's cotton ain't by das. Ain't like das. A cotton doesn't have any das. So you don't have to worry about drinking to bring yourself to a place where you don't have das. You're a cotton, so you don't have das to begin with. So the truth is, it's a very deep. It's a very deep thing. It's a very deep tyrant. What does it mean to be like a child, but to remain as a child while you're old? That's the sight of Netzach and Hyde. And when you see that, when you met Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, or you met Reb Moshe Feinstein, wow. You met people who were 90 years old, they were like Bar Mitzvah Bachur. Cotton sheyesh bo das. Is there anything that's more beautiful than that? They didn't have to drink to come to a place of humility of Adla Yada. A cotton sheyesh bo das. It's a stira. A klal is that a cotton doesn't have das. But when you read Reb Moshe, he was 90 years old, like a little boy. That's the chokhmah. There was a tzaddik, it was the Chayzus Talmud, Reb Shalom Kaminka. Yeah, it was Reb Shalom from Kaminka. Reb Shalom Kaminka, the tzaddik Reb Shalom, that he was. They were in shul. It was after davening with the chassidim. And you know, Jews, when there's a yard site, so we have a beautiful thing that we make a tikkun, right? Somebody puts out. Now it's getting fancier, but you put out some piece of herring and a little. Kichel, Mazinus, and Jews make a lechaim. Somebody died some years ago, so Jews make a lechaim. It's a beautiful thing. Tikkun's a very deep thing. So there were different people that had nachrayis. Who would bring for the tikkuns, and if it wasn't a specific yahrzeit from somebody in the shul. So then it was a tzaddik's yard site, so they take care of the tikkun. So it once happened that it was after davening, and it was a yard site from some tzaddik, but nobody brought the schnapps and the herring. It's a terrible thing. So there were kids around over there after davening, and one of the chevra said, "No, Shekhe Yingle, send one of the kids to go and bring some schnapps and." Go to the house and bring some schnapps and some herring. So Absholom, who was an old man, is that tzaddik Absholom Kamik? He heard this and he ran out, and he ran over and he brought some schnapps and some herring. And the chassidim were very embarrassed, and he came back and they said, Rabbi, we never meant chalila. We said Shekhe Yingle. We said to send one of the boys, the kids. So Absholom Kamik said. But on the day that I became Bar Mitzvah, I made a promise to Hashem Yisbarach that no matter how old and how many years you give me, I'm going to remain a child. That's what he said. So when I heard the words, send a child, it worked for me. Those words. That's the mystery of Am Yisrael. The Hamasnikas don't know that about us. They don't know that. They don't understand it. The whole world doesn't know that about us. The oldest and the youngest. So they think they were over bottle, and they think that it was finished. Nesach Yisrael lo yishake. And sikvasam b'chol dor v'dor. The Yeshua of Purim Cotton is to be always a child. To be always young. To have all of the beauty of a child and the strength and the innocence. All of the height. All of the innocence of Aaron HaKohen. But don't mess with us because we have Moshe Rabbeinu is alive and well. Moshe Emes v'Sirasa Emes And Moshe Rabbeinu was etched in stone. But stone that can't be broken without Shavuos Aluchos. Well, Hashem should help us. We should be zeicher to see the kiyum of Ve'einenu Me'iros K'Shemesh V'Chayirech. And Mashiach is called with Ne'Shemesh Yinayin Shemay. Mashiach Tzekeinu, we should be zeicher to see the light of the face of Mashiach and all the tzaddikim, B'Glashem Amitis, and every Amen.
Amen.